Chapter 102. Tossing to and fro upon his odd uneasy bed, tormented by a fierce thirst which nothing could appease, unable to find, in any change of posture, a moment's peace or ease, and rambling, ever, through deserts of thought, where there was no resting place, no sight or sound suggestive of refreshment or repose, nothing but a dull eternal weariness, with no change, but the restless shiftings of his miserable body, and the weary wandering of his mind, constant still to one ever-present anxiety to a sense of something left undone, of some fearful obstacle to be surmounted, of some carking care that would not be driven away, and which haunted the distempered brain, now in this form, now in that, always shadowy and dim, but recognizable for the same phantom, in every shape it took, darkening every vision like an evil conscience, and making slumber horrible in the slow tortures of his dread disease, the unfortunate Richard lay wasting and consuming inch by inch, until, at last, when he seemed to fight, and struggle to rise up, and to be held down by devils, he sank into a deep sleep, and dreamed no more. He awoke, with a sensation of most blissful rest, better than sleep itself. He began gradually to remember something of these sufferings, and to think what a long night it had been, and whether he had not been delirious twice or thrice. Happening, in the midst of these cogitations, to raise his hand, he was astonished to find how heavy it seemed, and yet how thin and light it really was. Still, he felt indifferent and happy, and having no curiosity to pursue the subject, remained in the same waking slumber until his attention was attracted by a cough. This made him doubt whether he had locked his door last night, and feel a little surprised at having a companion in the room. Still, he lacked energy to follow up this train of thought, and unconsciously fell, in a luxury of repose, to staring at some green stripes on the bed furniture, and associating them strangely with patches of fresh turf, while the yellow ground between made gravel walks, and so helped out a long perspective of trim gardens. He was rambling in imagination on these terraces, and had quite lost himself among them indeed, when he heard the cough once more. The walks shrunk in two stripes again at the sound, and raising himself a little in the bed, and holding the curtain open with one hand, he looked out. The same room certainly, and still by candlelight, but with what unbounded astonishment did he see all those bottles, and basins, and articles of linen airing by the fire, and such like furniture of a sick chamber all very clean and neat, but all quite different from anything he had left there when he went to bed. The atmosphere too, filled with a cool smell of herbs and vinegar, the floor newly sprinkled, the what? The Marchioness? Yes, playing cribbage with herself at the table. There she sat, intent upon her game, coughing now and then in a subdued manner, as if she feared to disturb him shuffling the cards, cutting, dealing, playing, counting, pegging, going through all the mysteries of cribbage, as if she had been in full practice from her cradle. Mr. Swiveller contemplated these things for a short time, and suffering the curtain to fall into its former position, laid his head on the pillow again. I'm dreaming, apostrophe thought Richard, that's clear. When I went to bed, my hands were not made of eggshells, and now I can almost see through them. If this is not a dream, I have woke up, by mistake, in an Arabian night, instead of a London one. But I have no doubt I'm asleep. Not the least. Apostrophe, here the small servant had another cough. Very remarkable. Apostrophe, apostrophe, thought Mr. Swiveller. I never dreamt such a real cough as that before. I don't know, indeed, that I ever dreamt either a cough or a sneeze. Perhaps it's part of the philosophy of dreams that one never does. There's another and another, I say. I'm dreaming rather fast. Apostrophe, for the purpose of testing his real condition, Mr. Swiveller, after some reflection, pinched himself in the arm. Queer still. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he thought. I came to bed rather plump than otherwise, and now there's nothing to lay hold of. I'll take another survey. apostrophe, the result of this additional inspection was to convince Mr. Swiveller that the objects by which he was surrounded were real, and that he saw them, beyond all question, with his waking eyes. It's an Arabian night, that's what it is, apostrophe said Richard. I'm in Damascus or Grand Cairo. The Marchioness is a genie, and having had a wager with another genie about who is the handsomest young man alive, and the worthiest to be the husband of the Princess of China, has brought me away, room and all, to compare us together. Perhaps, apostrophe said Mr. Swiveller, turning languidly round on his pillow, and looking on that side of his bed which was next the wall, the princess may be still no, she's gone. Apostrophe, not feeling quite satisfied with this explanation, as, even taking it to be the correct one, it still involved a little mystery and doubt, Mr. Swiveller raised the curtain again, determined to take the first favorable opportunity of addressing his companion. An occasion presented itself. The Marchioness dealt, turned up a knave, and omitted to take the usual advantage. Upon which Mr. Swiveller called out as loud as he could to for his heels. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the Marchioness jumped up quickly, and clapped her hands. Arabian night, certainly, apostrophe thought Mr. Swiveller. They always clap their hands instead of ringing the bell. Now for the 2,000 black slaves, with jars of jewels on their heads. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it appeared, however, that she had only clapped her hands for joy, for directly afterward she began to laugh, and then to cry, declaring, not in choice Arabic, but in familiar English, that she was so glad, she didn't know what to do. Apostrophe, Marchioness, apostrophe said Mr. Swiveller, thoughtfully, be pleased to draw nearer. First of all, will you have the goodness to inform me where I shall find my voice, and secondly, what has become of my flesh. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the Marchioness only shook her head mournfully, and cried again, whereupon Mr. Swiveller, being very weak, felt his own eyes affected likewise. I begin to infer, from your manner, and these appearances, Marchioness, apostrophe said Richard after a pause, and smiling with a trembling lip, that I have been ill. Apostrophe, you just have. Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied the small servant, wiping her eyes. And haven't you been a-talking nonsense? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Dick. Very ill, Marchioness, have I been? Apostrophe, dead, all, but, apostrophe, replied the small servant. I never thought you'd get better. Thank heaven you have. Apostrophe, Mr. Swiveller was silent for a long while. By and by, he began to talk again, inquiring how long he had been there. 3 weeks tomorrow, apostrophe replied the servant. Three what? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Dick. Weeks, apostrophe returned the Marchioness emphatically. Three long, slow weeks. Apostrophe, the bare thought of having been in such extremity caused Richard to fall into another silence, and to lie flat down again, at his full length. The Marchioness, having arranged the bedclothes more comfortably, and felt that his hands and forehead were quite cool, a discovery that filled her with delight, cried a little more, and then applied herself to getting tea ready, and making some thin dry toast. While she was thus engaged, Mr. Swiveller looked on with a grateful heart, very much astonished to see how thoroughly at home she made herself, and attributing this attention, in its origin, to Sally Brass, whom, in his own mind, he could not thank enough. When the Marchioness had finished her toasting, she spread a clean cloth on the tray, and brought him some crisp slices, and a great basin of weak tea, with which, she said, the doctor had left word he might refresh himself when he awoke. She propped him up with pillows, if not as skillfully as if she had been a professional nurse all her life, at least as tenderly, and looked on with unutterable satisfaction, while the patient stopping every now and then to shake her by the hand, took his poor meal with an appetite and relish, which the greatest dainties of the earth, under any other circumstances, would have failed to provoke. Having cleared away and disposed everything comfortably about him again, she sat down at the table to take her own tea. Marchioness, apostrophe said Mr. Swiveller, how's Sally? Apostrophe, the small servant screwed her face into an expression of the very uttermost entanglement of slyness, and shook her head. What, haven't you seen her lately? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Dick. Seen her? Apostrophe, apostrophe cried the small servant. Bless you, I've run away. Apostrophe, Mr. Swiveller immediately laid himself down again quite flat, and so remained for about 5 minutes. By slow degrees he resumed his sitting posture after that lapse of time, and inquired. And where do you live, Marchioness? Apostrophe, apostrophe, live. Apostrophe, apostrophe cried the small servant. Here. Apostrophe, oh. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Swiveller. And with that he fell down flat again, as suddenly as if he had been shot. Thus he remained, motionless and bereft of speech, until she had finished her meal, put everything in its place, and swept the hearth, when he motioned her to bring a chair to the bedside, and, being propped up again, opened a farther conversation. And so, apostrophe said Dick, you have run away? Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe said the Marchioness, and they've been a-tizing of me. Apostrophe, been I beg your pardon, apostrophe said Dick, what have they been doing? Apostrophe, been a-tizing of me, tizing you know in the newspapers, apostrophe rejoined the Marchioness. I, apostrophe said Dick, advertising? Apostrophe, the small servant nodded, and winked. Her eyes were so red with waking and crying, that the tragic muse might have winked with greater consistency. And so Dick felt. Tell me, apostrophe said he, how it was that you thought of coming here. Apostrophe, why, you see, apostrophe returned the Marchioness, when he was gone, I hadn't any friend at all, because the lodger he never come back, and I didn't know where either him, or he was to be found, you know. But one morning, when I was apostrophe, was near a keyhole. Apostrophe, apostrophe suggested Mr. Swiveller, observing that she faltered. Well then, apostrophe said the small servant, nodding, when I was near the office keyhole as you see me through, you know I heard somebody saying that she lived here, and was the lady whose house you lodged at, and that you was took very bad, and wouldn't nobody come and take care of you. Mr. Brass, he says, it's no business of mine, he says. And Miss Sally, she says, he's a funny chap, but it's no business of mine. And the lady went away, and slammed the door to, when she went out, I can tell you. So I run away that night, and come here, and told them you was my brother, and they believed me, and I've been here ever since. Apostrophe, this poor little Marchioness has been wearing herself to death. Apostrophe, apostrophe cried Dick. No I haven't, apostrophe she returned, not a bit of it. Don't you mind about me. I like sitting up, and I've often had a sleep, bless you, in one of them chairs. But if you could have seen, how you tried to jump out o' winder, and if you could have heard, how you used to keep on singing and making speeches, you wouldn't have believed it. I'm so glad you're better, Mr. Liverer. Apostrophe, Liverer indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Dick thoughtfully. It's well I am a Liverer. I strongly suspect I should have died, Marchioness, but for you. Apostrophe, at this point, Mr. Swiveller took the small servant's hand in his again, and being, as we have seen, but poorly, might in struggling to express his thanks have made his eyes as red as hers, but that she quickly changed the theme, by making him lie down, and urging him to keep very quiet. The doctor, apostrophe she told him, said he was to be kept quite still, and there was to be no noise nor nothing. Now, take a rest, and then we'll talk again. I'll sit by you, you know. If you shut your eyes, perhaps you'll go to sleep. You will be all the better for it, if you do. Apostrophe, the Marchioness, in saying these words, brought a little table to the bedside, took her seat at it, and began to work away at the concoction of some cooling drink, with the address of a score of chemists. Richard Swiveller being indeed fatigued, fell into a slumber, and waking in about half an hour, inquired what time it was. Just gone half after six, apostrophe replied his small friend, helping him to sit up again. Marchioness, apostrophe said Richard, passing his hand over his forehead and turning suddenly round, as though the subject, but that moment flashed upon him, what has become of Kit? Apostrophe apostrophe, he had been sentenced to transportation for a great many years, she said. Has he gone? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Dick his mother, how is she, what has become of her? Apostrophe apostrophe, his nurse shook her head, and answered that she knew nothing about them. But, if I thought, apostrophe said she, very slowly, that you'd keep quiet, and not put yourself into another fever, I could tell you, but I won't now. Apostrophe, yes, do, apostrophe said Dick. It will amuse me. Apostrophe, oh. Would it though? Apostrophe rejoined the small servant, with a horrified look. I know better than that. Wait till you're better, and then I'll tell you. Apostrophe, Dick looked very earnestly at his little friend. And his eyes, being large and hollow from illness, assisted the expression so much, that she was quite frightened, and besought him not to think any more about it. What had already fallen from her, however, had not only piqued his curiosity, but seriously alarmed him, wherefore he urged her to tell him the worst at once. Oh, there's no worst in it, apostrophe said the small servant. It hasn't anything to do with you. Apostrophe, has it anything to do with is it anything you heard through chinks or keyholes, and that you were not intended to hear? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Dick, in a breathless state. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.